إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد, we mentioned yesterday the issue of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, and how to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above everything else is a criterion of iman. It is not just something which is important, it is not just something which is good to do, it is a criterion of iman. If one does not have that, then one has to question whether one has iman at all. Today we will talk inshallah about the love for Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also a criterion of iman. It's a shart of iman. If somebody does not love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that person has no iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran in the ayat of Surah Al-Tawbah, which I recited yesterday, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically said, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. If these things are more important to you than the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the love of jihad fi sabilillah, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically discarded and mentioned and made the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a shart of iman. We know the famous ahadith in this connection. One of the most famous ones is where Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love you more than anything except my own self. And as I always reflect and wonder, and I have mentioned this many times, at the ikhlas of the sahaba, at their truthfulness, where they actually used to say exactly what is in their hearts. What was the need for Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu to say, I love you more than anything else except myself? He could have said, I love you more than anything. That's enough. Why did you have to say that? Because that's also in the heart. I mean, the ikhlas of the sahaba, the truthfulness of the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, is this. And then, as the hadith, as we know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, your iman is not complete until you love me more than anything else, including yourself. So what was the reaction of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu? His reaction was silence. He did not say anything. He went away, he came back after some time. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than anything and everybody else, including myself. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-An ya Umar. He said, now O Umar. And the muhaddithin have said that now means that now your iman is complete. Maybe it means that until now it was not complete. Wallah alam, whatever it is. But this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And once again, let us think about the truthfulness of the sahaba. He could have said, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your iman is not complete until you love me more than anything and everything else, including yourself. He could have said, that is what I meant. He could have said, when he, as a response, oh, but that is what I meant, Ya Rasulullah. He could have said that. But he did not say it because he knew that that is not what he meant. So the truthfulness of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in was such that it did not even occur to them that they could tell a lie or say something which was not absolutely truthful. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is one of the finest examples of this. Absolutely open, absolutely clear. Totally congruent between his feelings, his speech and his actions. The purpose of this is to underline the importance of the love for Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, what is the meaning of loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because we seem to interpret that in any number of ways today. People do things which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically prohibited, and they think that this is to express the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can the love of somebody be expressed by doing things which he prohibited, right? So I'm not going to go into a list of all the wrong things people do. That's not our purpose. We know that more than anybody else. The point is, let us look at what is the meaning of loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, Islam is the name of a practice. Islam is the name of a practice. Islam is not the name of a theological concept. Islam ek nazariye ka naam nahi hai. Islam amal ka naam hai.
ایک طریقہ عمل کا نام اسلام ہے. اسلام ایک نظریہ کا نام نہیں. اٹس ناٹ این آئیڈیالوجی, اٹ از ناٹ اے تھیوری, اٹ از ناٹ سم تھنگ وچ از یو نو ٹو بی جسٹ انڈرسٹوڈ. نو, اسلام از دا نیم آف اے پریکٹس. اینڈ دی ایگزامپل آئی آلویز گیو از ٹو کمپیئر اسلام وچ سے فار ایگزامپل آئیکیڈو اور جوڈو اور کراٹے. Now there is a theory behind judo. For example, why must you make a hold in a particular way? Now there is a theory behind this. That's the principle of leverage which is applied, and therefore it will throw somebody who is much bigger and stronger than you to the ground, or it will pin the person down, and so on and so forth. But have you ever gone to a judo class where anyone taught you the theory? Have you ever gone to a judo class where somebody said, here is a book on judo, please read it? Or here is a film on judo, please see it? No. The minute you go to the judo class, what happens? He says, stand there, and then he practice. You practice to how to fall. The first thing they teach you is how to fall, and then you spend a lot of time on the ground, believe me. Practice. The biggest disservice that we have done to this deen of ours is that we converted this into a theory. And we teach theory, we learn theory, we examine each other on the knowledge of the theory, and then we give a certificate and out. ہم نظریہ پڑھاتے ہیں, نظریے پہ امتحان لیتے ہیں, نظریے کے امتحان میں وہ پاس ہوتا ہے, وہ پاس ہو کے چلا جاتا ہے, اور کچھ نہیں. اور یہ پڑھنے والوں کا, جو نہیں پڑھنے والوں کا ان کا تو ذکر ہی نہیں. سو اسلام از دا نیم آف پریکٹس. اینڈ واٹ از دیٹ پریکٹس؟ دیٹ پریکٹس از دا سنہ. That practice is the sunnah. Because if you look at it, if the practice was not required, then there was no need to send the Nabi. There was no need to send the Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have sent the book. In whichever way, Allah knows. We don't have to go into how would he have sent the book if he hadn't sent the Nabi. Don't worry about that. Allah knows how to send, what he has to send, he could have sent. If it was only the purpose that you learn something. But Allah, that was not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's purpose was to practice, bring it into the life. So the love of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to practice what he practiced, is to practice and show what he showed. He came to demonstrate, and the ones who love him demonstrate. What do they demonstrate? Something which they figured out, or which they thought of, or they got inspired. No, they demonstrate what he demonstrated. Nothing more, nothing less. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Allah said, say to them who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow me, imitate me, do whatever I did. Why? What is the connection? If I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why must I imitate somebody else? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, just saying I love Allah is not enough. If you love Allah, follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How will I demonstrate? Yesterday we said, how do we demonstrate that we love Allah? And yesterday we said, what did we say? We said, make a niyyah to say, I will start doing this, and or I will stop doing this. Now what is this start doing and start doing? That is the sunnah. What will you start doing? Something of the sunnah which we did not used to do, I will start doing. What will you stop doing? Something of the sunnah or something outside the sunnah which I used to do, which I will stop doing and go back to the sunnah. Khairul hadi, hadi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith which we hear on the minbar in the Jummah, every Jummah, almost every masjid you go, this hadith will be read before us. Why? So that we reinforce this in our minds. So how do we demonstrate the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him? By following the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is the reward of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the reward of that is yuhibbukumullah. Then Allah will love you. One is to claim to love somebody. That person may or may not even know you exist. With respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course he knows you exist. But I'm saying that Allah might say, oh there, I don't care. You love me, so what? Buzz off. Not interested. So then where that love goes, where? But here what is Allah saying? If you claim to love me, follow the sunnah of my messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then what will happen? I will love you. I have said this before and I remind myself and you, just today sit and reflect, what is the meaning and position if Allah loves you? Think about this, you are sitting here, that Allah loves me. And Allah said this, I didn't say it, Allah said, yuhibbukum Allah, Allah. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me, what is my position in this world? What will happen to my dua? What will happen to anyone who has enmity against me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there are only two people in this world who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war against. Who are those two people? The one who deals in interest, and the one who is the enemy of the one who Allah loves. Who is the wali of Allah? The problem with translations is, you know, we translate wali as friend, Allah ka dost. Allah ka dost kaise hota? Allah to khaliq hai, hum insaan makhlooq hai. Dosti to aapas mein masawat ki cheez hai. It's an equality. How can the makhlooq be equal to the khaliq? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word wali because he's using language, but the understanding of wali with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran used the word wali for himself. Allahu waliul ladhina amanu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned wali with regard to people. Ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. With regard to the kuffar and the mushrikeen. So when he's saying wali, he's talking about a particular kayfiyat of friendship, a closeness and a love for that individual. It must not be understood. My Shaykh always would tell me, don't think of the wali of Allah as if you are equal to Allah. No. Nobody is equal to Allah. لَيْثَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ سَمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what did Allah say? What will happen to the one who follows the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَاتَّبِعُونِ اِتِّبَاء of the sunnah. Which means everything that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do and say, irrespective of whether he specifically ordered it or didn't order it. Either way. يُحِبِّكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will love you. And then what happens if Allah loves you? يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. Allah will forgive all your sins. Allah will forgive all your sins. And Allah is the one who is the most forgiving. Man the most merciful. غَفُورْ رَحِيمٌ. So the following of the sunnah is a demonstration of the love of Allah. And it's a demonstration of the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it is not even logical, my brothers and sisters, for us to think that I claim to love somebody, but if you look at me, you do not see any sign of that individual within me. Then what love is this? No sign. I love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but if you look at me, you do not see any sign of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within me. What love is this? How is this love? This is a lie, it's not love. Somebody asked me, which sunnah should I follow? What is the most important sunnah to follow? Now, how to answer this question? Allah did not make this differentiation. Because in the religion, if you answer anything, there has to be some dalil. And the dalil has to be from the kitab or the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you cannot, out of your mind, create some criterion and say, this sunnah is important, you follow that. The other one is not important, you can leave it. Allah did not make this differentiation. Allah did not say that some sunnan of my Nabi are more important, you follow them. Other sunnan are, you know, ye to hamari badmashi aur hamari badbakhti hum log karte hain. Ye to aadat thi. Jaise ki aadat, Nabi ki aadat ki koi haisiyat nahi hai. Nabi ki aadat to bilkul bekar cheez hai, usko, you know, the habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no importance, you can junk it. Allah did not say this. Fattabiuni, ittiwa karo, kisme karo? Har cheez mein karo. Jab ek, when a statement is made without any qualification, what does it mean? It means you apply it across the board, right? Fattabiuni, wudu karke namaz padho. Ab aadmi aake sawal karta, sahab main nafil namaz pad raha hu, wudu karna hai kya? Are bhai, wudu ke bagair namaz nahi hoti. Ab ye ho gaya na, ab iske andar mazid sawal ki kya zarurat hai? If somebody says without a wudu your salah is not valid, now you make another question. For nafil do I have to do wudu? Or is the wudu only for Otherwise, the statement was made, wudu is required for salah, irrespective of what understanding what is the meaning of that. Is it necessary to say for every salah, irrespective? Not necessary. Wudu is necessary for salah. There is no salah without wudu. That statement is complete in itself, does not need any further qualification. If somebody is coming and asking a question on that statement, that person is a fool. You will tell him, what kind of a question is this? Why are you asking this? This is a senseless question, because it has been told to you, wudu is required for salah. Finished. Whichever salah it is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fattabiuni, tell them, obey me, imitate me, ittiba karo. Ittiba, why is the difference between ittiba and itaat? Because itaat, the hukam is shart. For someone to obey somebody, there has to be a order, instructions of hukam. Then a person can decide, I want to obey or I don't want to obey. But ittiba is imitation. Ittiba is a sign of love. You only imitate those you love. And we have any number of examples of that. Amir Khan does a haircut of a particular style in a movie, and you see all these young characters with their hair in some peculiar. Why? Because Amir Khan did. Amir Khan does not even know you exist. Who is Amir Khan in any case? Is he worthy of emulation? And what about Muhammad Rasulullah? Is he worthy of emulation? What do you think? It's not a matter of talking. If you think so, do it. So somebody asked me, which sunnah? So I said, first of all, this question I cannot answer, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not differentiate between the sunnah. He said, do it. Now it is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not also put a shart to say, unless you follow every single sunnah of my Nabi, I will throw you in the hellfire. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put this, all of us would have been sitting in the hellfire without exception, believe me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, follow the sunnah of my Nabi. How much to follow? As much as you can follow. Try your best, do your best, as much as you can follow, inshallah, we ask Allah to forgive us for whatever we are unable to follow and whatever we are weak, inshallah, that's a different matter. But how much internally we must deliberately have this intention and do our best to follow as much as possible. And then I said to the person, I said, well, without differentiating, I'm not categorizing, but if you want to start with, I said, let us start with the sunan with regard to the ibadat, because the ibadat is the most important thing in Islam. So therefore, the sunnah of the salawat, which is all the first salawat, five first salawat, they come with some sunnah, something before, something after, ensure that you pray that. Whether you pray it in the masjid or you go home and pray it, going home and praying is also a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you can go home and pray this, or you can pray it in the masjid, wallahu alam. So you can do that first, start with that. Start with the, also with the Basnoon and Muakkad Azkar of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after the first salah. Don't start suddenly, as soon as you finish the first salah, don't stand up and start praying sunnah. No. Alhamdulillah, we have some time, do the Azkar. There's a whole list of Azkar. You can't do all of them, do some of them at least. Because the principle of the Sharia is, if you cannot do something completely, do not also leave it completely. You know, do whatever you can do to the best of your ability. So do that, inshallah. Then the other salawat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which are sunnah in themselves. For example, Salatul Duha, for example, one of the biggest, which is Tahajjud. May Allah bless Marana, this Suratul Muzammil is related to Tahajjud. And then in other places, Suratul Sajda and so on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Tahajjud specifically. So start that, start praying Tahajjud. Then go to the fasting of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mondays and Thursdays he used to fast. So do that. And then in that way, continue. And then remember that the entire akhlaq of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the sunnah. All the muamilat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the sunnah. So who must follow it? We seem to have created this deen and made compartments. We say sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, first thing we think is beard. Of course it is beard. Nobody said it is not, but does it end with that? You have a beard, then you can lie and cheat and so on. Does it make the daadi kya, jhoot ko halal bahalal rana diya? Or daadi nahi ta, jhoot nahi bolta kya? All senseless arguments. Let's get out of this. The sunnah is to be visible in our outward appearance. The sunnah is to be visible in our akhlaq, in our speech, in our muamilat, our dealings with people. The sunnah is to be visible inside our hearts when we stand in salah. Khushu in salah is a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Khushu in salah is a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tazkiyatu nafs is sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ta'alluq ma'allah is sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So let us take this to the How to bring up your children? Tarbiyat of the children. Is it a sunnah or not? It's a sunnah. We bring up children like we bring up goats and cattle. We just feed them and then we leave it. Job is over. Feed them, give them some clothes. When they grow up, give them a cell phone. Who will teach them manners? We have children. May Allah forgive us. We have children who do not know how to say salam to an elder person when the person comes. You have to tell them, salam karo. Khana khawane ki zarurat nahi padti. Wo khata khud hi. Janwar ke waise. Salam karne ke liye training chahiye. Whose fault is it? And there was a time when yet in this city, I know I have heard people, I have heard Hindu people say, Muslimano ke bachche sabse achche hote. And they used to say, Muslim children of Muslims are the best because they have the best manners. Today, no longer the case. Even to say salam, whose fault is it? Don't blame the child. I have always said, children are not to be blamed. The child is whatever you created. If your child has no manners, you are at fault. Children, our children, they don't say salam. They don't serve. They don't do anything. How many times as much as I've seen elderly people coming, getting, picking up a chair and putting it in the surf to go and sit to pray. Are whole bunch of people, you know, going and pumping iron and building their bodies. They cannot pick up a chair for an elderly person. What? Which sunnah is this? Iski bolne ki zarurat hai, sharmana chahiye. Somebody has to tell you, oh, pick up a chair and do this. So this is sunnah. To bring up your children properly is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So practicing of the sunnah. As I said, this deen is tariqah. Unfortunately, even if you look at it, people, ye farzi tafriqah paida kar, ye shariat hai ya tariqat hai. Do alag cheez bana. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Tariqat kisko bolte hai? Shariat pe chalne ka naam tariqat hai. جو طریقہ شریعت سے خالی ہے وہ شیطان کا فطور ہے, وہ اسلام تھوڑی ہے. What is the meaning of طریقت? طریقت is the practice of the sharia. The sharia is the rule. For example, the rule Allah said, اقیموا الصلاۃ. شریعت ہو گئی. The rule has come, established salah. What is the طریقت with regard to salah? طریقت with regard to salah is to say, in my daily work, I am sitting in the shop, I am in the middle of my business is happening and so on, adhan, what do I do? That is tariqat. What is the struggle at that time? How do I deal with this business? How do I tell people, please wait, I have to go and pray. If you are here, alhamdulillah, if you are not here, this is minallahi ta'ala, you are what is my risk has been written. This tawakkul in the heart is the tariqat of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People have separated the two. We say, they are shariat wale. We are tariqat wale. If your tariqat is shariat se khali hai, to aap shaitan wale. Kaunsi tariqat wale? Kisi tariqat hai jo shariat se khali hai? And that's how all the bidat came into the so-called tariqat. In the name of tariqat, you create all kinds of nonsense. And then on the other hand, you have the people of the sharia who talk only aqidah. Who talk only usul. Somebody sent me a beautiful incident the other day. He said, Sheikh Nasimuddin Albani rahmatullah alayh. He said he used to go to pray in a masjid which was quite far from his house because there was a qari there was an imam there whose qirat was very nice. So he used to go and pray, especially Salatul Fajr, he would pray behind him because the recitation is long, he used to enjoy it. So the students, some of his students, they said, we used to wait by the roadside, and when the Sheikh's car came, he would pick us up and we would go with him and we would pray Salatul Fajr in that place. Who is Sheikh Nasiruddin Albani rahmatullahi? He is one of the among the modern scholars, one of the greatest muhaddithin of this ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur and may Allah be pleased with him. And he is the man who our shariat people, the people who are very rigid and so on and so forth, and who call themselves Salafi, they talk about Sheikh Albani, alhamdulillah. So now let's see what Sheikh Albani rahmatullahi, what he did. So he used to take the students and he would go. And one these people said, one day a young guy came, a new guy, he came and he joined us and he came with the Sheikh. And when they finished the salah and so on, they're coming back home. This young fellow, he says, yeah, Sheikh, huh? He says, oh, Sheikh, do you know the aqidah of that imam who led salah? And Sheikh Nasiruddin Albani, rahmatullahi, he said, I do not know his aqidah and I also do not know your aqidah. Now, what do we understand from this? See the wusatul qalbi of the ulama of this deen. See there, see how big their hearts were. They are not little nitpickers who are ready to reject people and throw them out of the deen and you khalis, you are kafir, you are kafir, you are kafir, kharij, kharij, kharij. I want to go to Jannah alone. La hawla quwwata illa billah. All of this, both sides of the story are not the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the middle path. Is the middle path, is the path of forgiveness, is the path of thinking the best about your brother, alhamdulillah. Not nitpicking and finding faults. It's the path of hiding the faults of your brother. He's got a million faults. That is why we have to hide it. Why do you think you have to hide the faults of somebody? Because the faults are there. Huh? Nobody told you to hide the faults of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he has no faults. What are you going to hide? He said, hide the faults of your brother. And why do you say that he has to hide? Because the faults are there. This is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not talking about the faults all over the place. So following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an expression of love for Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is an expression of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And that is what makes our iman complete. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of our life, knowing that this is the best way and knowing that with this will come noor into our lives where we become people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love and we are then included insha'Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include all of you among His awliya. So all of you become awliya Allah, not according to what the world says, but according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Insha'Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this easy for us, to have a lot of fun doing this, for us to individually to become the standard bearers of Islam for the whole world, so that the noor of Islam will spread not by only our talking, but by our actions, by our society, by our homes, by our akhlaq, by our manners. We ask Allah to make this easy for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin wa alhamdulillah.